Drink. Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome. I'm sorry, I fucked up that intro. For this episode, I fucked up that intro. So hold on one second. Let me take that back. We'll do it again. Okay. Let's just imagine you hear that break. You know what? We're going to play the break sound again because we are going to do this again. We're going to go all out. Okay. We're going to redo the break sound. Yeah. Ho, 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 everybody. Welcome to episode 92 of Feel Good Friday. Well, we got a long episode today. Actually, I don't know how long it's going to be. I'm going to stop. I can't do that voice the whole time. That was supposed to be my Santa Claus voice because this is going to be the Christmas special. And I get it. Christmas already happened. However, Christmas was happening, so things were crazy, and I didn't really get a chance to record this Christmas special. Ow! Sorry, I just stubbed my toe on one of the dog bones. That's my pinky toe, too. That's Merry Christmas to me. Fuck my toe. Who needs it anyway? I got nine more, right? Anyway, this is the Christmas special, and Christmas, but we'll call it the holiday special because it is 2023 and I don't want to upset anyone. So this is the holiday special. Welcome. Thank you for joining me today. I got a lot of stuff to talk about. I want to talk about Christmas memories, and you know what? I am going to say Christmas because I celebrate Christmas, and I don't have any Hanukkah memories. I don't have any Kwanzaa memories. I don't have any other, you know, Boxing Day memories. I don't have any other memories for other celebrations on December 25th, except for Jimmy Buffett's birthday, of course. RIP, he would have been 77, and I miss him dearly. But I didn't make my annual Happy Birthday Jimmy Buffett post where I kind of fool everyone into thinking I'm going to post about Jesus's birthday, but then I post about Jimmy, like, I mean, you know, it's so easy to get wrapped up in the baking and the presents and all that. But let's not forget what Christmas is truly about. The birthday of our Savior. The birthday of the one that we should all try to be more like. WWJD. What would Jimmy do? Happy birthday, Jimmy Buffett. I didn't do that this year because he is no longer with us. So, RIP Jimmy Buffett. Happy birthday. There you go. There's my flowers for Jimmy Buffett yet again. Oh, I can't stop. I miss that guy. I watch interviews of him sometime, like old interviews, and he was just such a cool dude, and I wish I could be that cool, and I know in my heart of hearts that I am not, but small part of me thinks I have the potential to be. I would love to just switch my life around. I'm already 30, so I'm kind of getting older, but I feel like now's the time to do it. Now's the time to just do this 180 and live this different lifestyle and, you know, be more like Jimmy Buffett, if I'm being totally honest, because just be a little more carefree, a little more stress-free, just a little happier. You know, bubbles up, baby, bubbles up. So happy birthday, Jimmy Buffett. I certainly miss you. And I don't know the music that you were going to make. I don't know how good, but your concerts were always a good time, and I don't think that would have ever changed. So, but to be fair, you're equal strain on all parts. The last album, the posthumous album, is solid. It's a great album, in my opinion. Lots of songs that made it to my playlist. So, and Bubbles Up is probably the most emotional one, considering, you know, what's happened. So, happy birthday, Jimmy Buffett. Also, happy birthday, Jesus, I guess. Anyway, so yeah, Christmas memories, Christmas movies, Christmas music, Christmas everything. Everything Christmas in this episode. Have I talked about Christmas before on this podcast? Yes. Yes, I have. Will I do it again? Yes. Yes, I will. But it's that time of year. You know, it's like the same way I talk about Halloween every year. I'm going to do it. Because it's that time of year. Tis the motherfucking season. And you can't stop me. And if you want to try, you can try, but you're going to be disappointed. Because I'm Hulk Hogan. I'm Andre the Giant. I am the unstoppable force. I am the immovable object. I think that's the way it goes. At least when it comes to this pot. Like, physically, you could stop me. Physically, I'm nowhere near either of those specimens. Physically, I am more like the Hurricane. I was going to say Val Venus, but even that would be a long shot. The Hurricanes probably a long shot. Mick Foley, maybe. But even like Mick Foley would beat the fuck out. So physically, I'm more like someone who's not in professional wrestling. Physically, I'm more like the guy working down at Annie Ann's Pretzels. That's more accurate, I would say. So you can stop me physically if you ever meet me face to face and you're like, stop talking about Christmas or I'll beat the fuck out of you. And I'd be like, all right, well, you probably will, so I will stop. But right now, Keyboard Warrior Joe, you know, you can't, I'm not seeing you right now. I'm talking to my phone right now. I don't see anyone. No one's stopping me. So fuck you. It's Christmas, and I have a little bit of a cold. Would it really be the holidays if, you know, people weren't miserable and sick and all that? No. Finn's not feeling well. I'm not feeling well. It is what it is. It's tradition, right? It's tradition. It's a beautiful thing. So, strap in, you know. We're about to unwrap some gifts. The gift of bullshit rambling from me. And I hope you like it. And if you don't, I apologize. But again, I wanted to get a Christmas special out. I was going to call it the holiday special. And then literally within a minute, I was like, no, fuck that. It's the Christmas special. I didn't mean to say it like that, but I rolled with it. At least I tried to. And that's all life is. You just try to roll with the bumps. You know what I mean? It's not always going to be calm waters and clear skies. You're going to get some choppy waves. You're going to get some storm clouds rolling in. You just try to sail on, okay? And I don't know if that's a Jimmy Buffett quote, but God damn it sounds like one. And if it's not and it sounds like one, then I'm even happier because that means that I'm getting closer to a WWJD lifestyle. What would Jimmy do? Not Jesus. Jesus, cool guy. I'm sure he's fine. But, I mean, come on. Jimmy Buffett, the embodiment of the Florida man. Before it was a trashy thing, back when it was a cool thing, I should add that. So, all right, Christmas special coming up. Who knows what we're going to talk about first? Who knows what we're going to talk about last? Who knows what we're going to talk about in between? This is a very unpredictable episode, pretty volatile. That's a bad adjective to describe an episode, but you know what I mean. Either way, I hope you enjoy and I hope it gets you all festive. And I know Christmas has passed, but maybe this will get you more excited for next Christmas because there's only 363 more days till next Christmas. So you might want to start getting your shopping done now. It's not that far off. Just saying. Just saying. All right. That'll be the intro. And have a holly jolly time listening to that intro music. And, you know, don't get too wet. That was gross. Why did I say that? That was really fucking gross. I apologize. Ho, ho, ho. All right, everybody. Welcome back to episode 92, the Christmas special. And fucking off we go. You know, on Dasher, on Dancer, on Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, and Rudolph too, you little red-nosed son of a bitch. I see you up front. You can't hide from me, you sneaky little fuck. wow, I'm actually pretty proud of myself that I remembered all the reindeer names in order, too, like on the call and everything. Obviously, did not forget about Rudolph. If you forget about Rudolph, come on, what are you doing? But also, was Rudolph, like, they never, I don't know, I've never seen, like, a follow-up to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Like, did he just need him for that one night? Or was Rudolph with Santa and the rest of the reindeer for the rest of the Christmases? Or was it just that one night because it was foggy? It's pretty foggy around this Christmas, by the way. So Rudolph might have been needed again. But I don't know. I feel like a sequel might be an interesting idea where it's like, you know, Rudolph is basically living off the money from that one Christmas, you know, the fame from that one Christmas where he saved Christmas, essentially. But then it's like he wasn't needed for the rest of it. So he just has to really milk it. And he does like appearances at
like little empty gymnasiums, and it's like, Rudolph, remember that one time he saved Christmas? And it's really sad. It's kind of like The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke, where Rudolph is Mickey Rourke, and it's just really depressing and sad. But anyway, that's not a bad idea for a movie, I don't think. I think that could be an Oscar winner, depending on who voiced Rudolph. You know, if you get Daniel Day-Lewis to voice Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer post the Christmas that he saved, where he just isn't needed anymore, that could potentially, you know, nag a few Oscars. Snag a few Oscars, not nag a few Oscars. It's the wrong word. But you know, that's an idea for down the road. We'll get to it when we get to it. I'll break out the laptop and start a writing, you know. Maybe that's just short film worthy. Maybe it's a book. Maybe it's a book. Maybe that wouldn't translate well to film. Maybe that's a book. Maybe that's gonna be a New York Times bestseller. I don't know what we would call it. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You know. I like it would be a I think it would be a two-part title where it's like, you know, it's like Misery and Pain, The Life of Rudolph After Christmas, or something like that. You know what I mean? It's like One Hit Wonder. Something like that. Something along those lines, but we'll get to it when we get to it. Right now, that's just an idea. I'm just kicking it around the office. You know, it's on the drawing board. It has yet to come to fruition. I've come to fruition multiple times. Oh, masturbation jokes. They probably do get old, so I'm gonna move on. Christmas. In other news, Christmas. Let's transition there from a good old masturbation joke to Christmas. Man, what to talk about first? Well, we talked about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, so let's just talk about movies. Let's talk about Christmas movies, because that's part of the, you know, it's one of the reasons the Christmas season is so great. There's so many great Christmas movies. Now, I know we talked about them a little on the last episode with Becky and Steve, you know, our Mount Rushmores of Christmas movies, but you know, I want to go through them. And but first off, I do want to talk about Krampus a little bit more. We talked about it in the last episode, but I didn't get to go into full detail about how much I loved it. I really did love this movie, and for multiple reasons. The cast was great. Toni Collette and David Koechner and Adam Scott and other people that were in it. I thought for a PG-13 horror movie, it was pretty creepy. But it was also, it's partly a comedy. There's a lot of funny stuff going on, a lot of funny lines, a lot of funny antics, basically, because it starts off, it's basically saying like everyone is miserable for the holidays. That's the message that it's sending. It's like everyone's just so stressed and nothing is ever going right. Nothing is, you know, good enough for the families. And there's just, you know, the stores are a mess and everyone's in a, which is a theory that I've heard, like everyone's just in a meaner mood around the holidays. And that's what this movie portrays in the first half. And then basically through the rest of it, they all kind of come together eventually. But I do love the setting of it too. Like the kid, you know, he's upset because his family is fighting and he doesn't want that. He wants Christmas to be like it used to be. And so he rips up his Christmas letter to Santa and he throws it out the window. And that was the spark that Krampus needed to be like, all right, this is the fucking house that I'm coming to. And it's not just that house. Krampus shuts down the whole neighborhood. The whole neighborhood. It's crazy. Like all the power goes off and extreme winds and snowfall comes in and everyone's snowed in. And I like that. I like the whole like, all right, well, we're trapped here now. Like we're trapped in the house. But like as a family, you know what I mean? Like if it was just one person trapped in the house, that would have been kind of, you know, maybe even boring. But when it's the whole family together, like the first day the power's out and they're like, all right, well, what are we gonna do for food? And you know, Toni Collette's like, well, there's plenty of leftovers, and David Koechner's like, beer it is. And I'm like, that's my move, David Koechner. You get it. You get it. So I like that whole setting of like being trapped in the house, no power, like you gotta rely on, you know, the fireplace and each other's company, basically. And you know, with the power out, it's just like a creepy set. And then the snow outside is great. And these random creepy snowmen keep appearing in the front yard of the house. And then, you know, just throughout it, like the Krampus is the big guy with the jacket and the hood and the horns and the hooves. But he has like little minions that go around and do some dirty work for him too, including the Jack in the Box that fucking grows throughout the movie and just eats everyone. And it's That's terrifying. The little gingerbread men, that's more funny than terrifying. I think that's a comedic effect thing. But the Jack in the Box thing, monster, whatever you want to call it, demon, that one was actually like, that was creepy to me. Yeah, and then basically the family gets picked off one by one, even sometimes two by two. And the kid at the end, he's the last one left, the kid that ripped up his list that was, you know, upset at the way Christmas was going. He ripped up his list. He was the last one left. Krampus hadn't got to him yet. I think he was going to let him live. And then he runs up to Krampus and he's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll take Christmas the way it was. And, you know, he kind of learned his lesson, quote unquote, almost like a Christmas Carol style. And there was a brief moment where it was like, I thought like, all right, Krampus is going to like show him mercy and things are going to go back to the way they were. Like, it's going to like, he's going to wake up and it was a dream. And then Krampus throws him into a fiery pit that I believe is hell. Throws the kid into the fiery pit. It's wild. Children deaths in this movie. There's several. But as he's falling into the pit, then he wakes up. I'm like, oh shit, it really was a dream. And he goes down and everyone's like kind of, it's Christmas morning and everyone's semi-happy. It's not like super joyful. It's not like over the top, like this is super white people stuff. But everyone's pretty happy for the most part. And it's Christmas morning and like the power's back on and, you know, everyone's there. Everyone that had just died the night before. And then they're opening gifts. And the kid, the little kid, opens up a gift, and it's the Krampus ornament. And I hope I'm saying Krampus right, because there are some people like, it's Krampus. Okay, sorry. Just like faux is pronounced fuh. Fuck you. It's the Krampus ornament. I'm going to say Krampus, because this is America. I'm going to say Krampus. He opens up the gift, and it's the Krampus ornament, and the whole family kind of like stops for a second, because it's almost like they were in a trance, and they realized what had happened the night before, like they had all died. And then it zooms out and their house is in this snow globe, which is in this room that appears to be like a lair dungeon type of thing that I believe is belonging to Krampus. And he has like a bunch of these snow globes. So I think that's all the houses and all the families that he's, you know, trapped, because they didn't have the Christmas spirit. So, long story short, like, you know, make sure you don't lose the Christmas spirit or else your whole family is going to die. So that's basically the moral of the story for Krampus. But great movie, like seriously awesome. I like that it wasn't a happy ending. I thought it was a cool ending. Like just seeing the layer looked so cool with all the snow globes. And then you see his hand on it and well, he or she, whatever Krampus is, it, 2023. I almost can't say it's 2023 anymore because it's almost 2024. Yikes. But, yeah, so I liked the ending. I liked that it was like, it wasn't necessarily a happy ending because you don't always get that in life. Like, I just lost fantasy football. And so I don't get my happy ending. I might not even get third place. Two seasons in a row, I finished with the top seed and then got to the playoffs and I finished in fourth. Fucking awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That sarcastic thank you to the fantasy gods. I even prayed to family members of mine that had passed because, like, when things get bad, I pray. And I was like, just let Christian McCaffrey score under 17 points. And they didn't come through. So, geez. Good for nothing. Am I right? Just kidding. I love all of them very much. And I miss them. And the holidays aren't the same without them. Anyway, and they're not the same without Jimmy Buffett. And so yeah, Krampus is great, but let's go into more traditional Christmas movies. Let's start with the basics. It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, White Christmas, the old Christmas Carol, the black and white one, which makes a brief cameo in Krampus, not to keep talking about Krampus, but Christmas Carol is in there, like the grandma is watching it while she's baking cookies, and I'm like, that's Christmas right there. And then the family gets home, and it's like all business, and the dad turns off a Christmas Carol and puts on the news. So, but yeah, those are some of the classics, and I like the classics. I think there's something relaxing about throwing on a classic Christmas movie. You throw on Miracle on 34th Street, or It's a Wonderful Life, or the old Christmas Carol, or any old Christmas movie, And it's just like it kind of puts me at ease, you know? It's stuff that, like, if I have a drink in my hand and I throw on a classic Christmas movie like that, I feel good. It's a good night. So, there's that. The old Christmas carols, it's kind of, like, all the Christmas carols are kind of creepy. Like, even the Muppet Christmas Carol has some creepy scenes in it. When Scrooge gets home, you know, before the ghosts appear, it's a creepy setting. They do a really good job of making his mansion or house or whatever look very old and decrepit and decaying and just empty, just empty. You get that empty feeling. And it's even now as a 30-year-old, I'm like, oof, a little spooky, a little spooky, Scrooge. Like Rizzo said, ooh, I like that intro. It's kind of dark and spooky. So yeah, even the Muppet Christmas Carol, kind of spooky, but definitely the Jim Carrey one. Jim Carrey one is very creepy. Even the opening shot of Marley just dead in the casket with his face all wrapped up and like it, creepy shot there. When the ghost comes, the first, like the ghost scene in general, the ghost of Christmas past is a weird looking candle fuck. Even the ghost of Christmas present turns into this really weird scene in this old like abandoned attic looking thing. And then obviously the end of it, the animation is just creepy. It's the same with the Polar Express. Like the anime, like maybe the message is there and it's like, yeah, Christmas, you know, like it's a good time and it's jolly. But like the animation is it was just creepy. And I think it's the same kind of animation that's the Jim Carrey Christmas Carol and then the Muppet Christmas Carol. No, I'm sorry, not the the Jim Carrey Christmas Carol and then the Polar Express. I think it's the same type of animation and both of them I'm like, eh, I don't like this at all. 'Cause Polar Express has some creepy scenes too. I don't know what's up with this animation company and why they want to creep kids out, but God damn it, they do. And they do it well. And they creep 30-year-olds out too. 'Cause the scene on the Polar Express when he's in the back of the train and it's that puppet room, creepy. Yeah. And I don't like the way Tom Hanks talks. Tickets, tickets. I don't like the way he talks. You know, dork and all that stuff. He's got a skullet in that movie. When he takes off his little conductor hat, he's bald and then he's got hair on the side. So that's skullet-esque, I would say. But Polar Express, Muppet Christmas Carol. I'll watch them every year, but I don't necessarily. I'm like, you know what, guys? It's a little creepy. Muppet Christmas Carol, I watched several times this year because Finn was getting more into it. He was dancing to the songs. The, you know, wherever you find love feels like Christmas. Like he was. He was dancing to that, and I really liked that. He liked the rats, Rizzo the Rat, and then the rest of the rats that worked at the Scrooge place. He was a fan. He likes the Muppets. So now that Christmas is over, we're, you know, probably gonna watch Muppet Treasure Island because summer's on the way. Summer's on the way. But we're still in Christmas right now. This is the Christmas special, baby. This is the Christmas special. Obviously, you get past the Muppet Christmas Carol, and you got, and I still love that meme that's like, a Muppet Christmas Carol is like, it's a wonderful life for millennials. They will defend it till they die. And that's totally true. Absolutely true. You got Elf. Elf is a solid one that it kind of came out of nowhere. And for whatever reason, I only watched it twice this year, I think. I think I only watched it twice. I normally watch that. That's a three or four timer, but it was only twice this year, I think. And I don't even know if I made it all the way through. Because Finn was enjoying it. Finn at least liked the first part where they're at the North Pole and everything's all claymation and happy and there's joyful music playing. Now, the guy who played the one elf with the glasses, who's like checking in on Buddy to see how many toys that he made. That's Ralphie from A Christmas Story. I still see memes that are like, I was today years old when I realized, like, people have known that for years. Fucking get with the times, you moron. It's like people that like that one meme that's like, you know, how old were you when you realized the cop in Home Alone is actually the same? It's Joe Pesci, it's the robber as well. You know. It's like we should know that. We should know that. I think once you get past maybe 10 years old, you should know that. I think I knew it before 10 because I'm not dumb. Because I'm not, you know, I'm not oblivious. I'm oblivious to some things. Like the news. Like, I don't really know what's going on in this world. And if I'm being totally honest, I'd prefer not to. You know, it's a sad, sad world. So I'm going to stay inside my bubble and I'm going to be happy. Ignorance is bliss. I believe that. A lot of people, you know, try to use that against you. But hey, if you're having a good time, that's important in this world because not a lot of people are. A lot of people are depressed. And if you can block out the negative and then therefore increase your happiness, then by all means, fucking do it. So, what were we talking about? Elf? Jesus Christ. Elf is solid. Elf is a solid movie. I know originally they wanted Jim Carrey to be Elf, and they wanted Wanda Sykes to be the store owner. And sometimes things don't work out, but sometimes they work out for the better. Apparently, Will Ferrell was a not good person on set. I don't know if I heard that from someone at work. I don't know if I believe that necessarily, because I hadn't heard anything about that before. You know, this person said that. I feel like those stories usually get leaked, like Jim Carrey on the set of a lot of his movies, because he's a method actor or whatever. Like, he wasn't that great, but like I've heard about that. I haven't heard about Will Ferrell being a dick on the set of Elf. So, yeah, Elf is solid, and then you got obviously Christmas Vacation, which I think Christmas Vacation, guys, that might be my favorite movie. That might be my favorite Christmas movie. And I don't feel ashamed saying that. I know it's a little cliche. It's like, oh, everyone chooses Christmas Vacation. Not everyone chooses Christmas Vacation. But I do. But I do, goddammit. That's a comforting movie to me. That's one that always puts me in a good mood. That's a, you know, I could watch it with Finn. I could watch it in the morning. I could watch it at night at the end of the day, winding down with a drink in my hand. That's just one that it still makes me laugh. And again, I think it's either the soundtrack or just the dialogue in the movie, having heard it so much growing up, that like it's something that comforts me. And it's a comfort film. It's a comfort Christmas film, which is the best kind of comfort film. Comfort film. Speaking of comfort films, Harry Potter, obviously. Some people will argue that they're Christmas movies. I think they're year-round movies. I think there's literally scenes from every season. Like, you could find a scene in the middle of summer. You could find a scene in spring and fall and winter. Like, there are scenes in every season. So, a Harry Potter, those movies are year-round movies. You can watch them whenever you want. And that's the magic of it, no pun intended. And so, they're not necessarily just Christmas movies. But those are my comfort movies. And those are year-round. But a Christmas comfort movie, that's why I don't like the people that are like, oh, all right, it's winter. You know what that means. Time for Harry Potter on repeat. That's year round in my life, motherfucker. Get with the fucking times. Harry Potter, year round. Just like spooky season. We can watch horror movies whenever we want. We're adults. Anyway. Christmas Vacation is my number one. Christmas Vacation is my number one. And then Jim Carrey's Grinch is my number two. And that's not saying that it's shitty. That's just saying that it's my second favorite Christmas movie of all time. Muppet Christmas Carol being my number three. Now, Jim Carrey, kind of a Christmas, you know, you got The Grinch and then you got A Christmas Carol, which obviously wasn't as big of a hit as The Grinch, but still, you got two big Christmas movies, Universal and Disney. Kind of a, you know, like a scream queen for horror movies. Jim Carrey's a Christmas king or something. I don't fucking know the term, but I'm just saying he might be a Christmas guy. Jim Carrey, Christmas guy, at least Christmas movie guy. But yeah, Jim Carrey's Grinch is fantastic, and I get it. It's not, you know, Jim Carrey's Grinch. It's the director, whoever, I think it was Ron Howard. Like, it's his Grinch, but still, you know, when you say Jim Carrey's Grinch, people know what you're talking about. They know you're not talking about the old 30-minute one from back in the day, the animated one. They know you're not talking about the new one with Benedict Cumberbatch, which is the weakest of the three, in my opinion. However, we watched that the most this Christmas season because Finn wanted to watch that the most this Christmas season. So had to watch that, had to bear through that. I love Benedict Cumberbatch. I do. I think he's an amazing actor, but I just don't think this was the role for him. I don't like the way he voiced the Grinch. I don't like a lot of the lines. Kenan Thompson is a fine character in it. He's, I forgot his little name, but he's like the Grinch's best friend, quote unquote. Yeah, so it's just, the Grinch isn't mean. He's just a depressed guy. Like Steve said in the last episode, he's not mean in it. He's depressed. And when he tries to come off mean, I'm like, yeah, that's stupid. Like, it just didn't work. It just didn't work, in my opinion. And the soundtrack, again, love Tyler, the Creator. Bad. Bad. The version of You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, it's one of the worst things I've ever heard. And I hate it. And Pharrell is the narrator, which, big drop off from Anthony Hopkins, Sir Anthony Hopkins narrating your movie, and then you go to Pharrell. I get it. You're trying to be modern and hip and all that, but come on, dude. Like, we all know that there's a drop off there. I like Max. I like Max a lot in the Illumination Grinch. And like I said, I like Kenan Thompson's character. I don't like Cindy Lou. I like Cindy Lou's little redhead ginger friend with the curly fro. I like him. He's got like five lines, but they're funny. He says waffles are awesome, and I agree with that entirely. Yeah, let's see what else. I don't know if there's a lot else about that movie that is going on that I'm a huge fan of. The soundtrack is not great. So definitely the weakest of the three. Mine would go Jim Carrey Grinch or Ron Howard Grinch, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And then the animated one from back in the day, I think it's the 60s. and then the Illumination one. Illumination! Yeah. So. But Jim Carrey's Grinch is just, that's another comfort movie. That's one that I've watched for so many years growing up. And Jim Carrey is great in it. He does a fantastic job, and there are people saying he should have been nominated for an Oscar because you couldn't tell with Jim Carrey. And when you can't tell that someone's an actor, yes, the makeup is important for that. And I think the makeup did get nominated, at least the makeup effects for the Grinch. But I think for an actor to just give no hints that it's him, like, you know. And Max, this was when I was today years old when I realized that, well, not today, I was this years old, so 30. When Max, the dog in the Jim Carrey Grinch, his ears are fake. Those long ears, those aren't real. And I felt pretty dumb when I realized that. I was like, oh, those aren't real ears. Like, yeah, like, Joe, you've trained dogs, you've worked with dogs, like, you should know that a dog like that wouldn't have those ears. Like, but I didn't. I never put two and two together until this year. So, you know, whatever. Good things take time. Rome wasn't built in one day. But there's that. And then you got, you know, the R-rated ones. I love the R-rated Christmas movies. I do, because a lot of the times, even though they're raunchy and profane and whatever else, you know, is going on, there's usually a good message. There usually is, and I like when you can combine heartwarming and raunchy. It's like Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso did a great job, and that's why I loved it so much, of combining heartwarming, damn near cheesy, and like the profane, raunchy stuff that I grew up loving so much. So it's like, you know, Bad Santa. I actually did not see the second one because it did not look that good, and I've heard it's not that good. But Bad Santa, Harold and Kumar 3, Office Christmas Party, The Night Before, you know, like these are R-rated movies, very hard R-rated movies. But at the end of the day, there's a good message. Night Before, it's like a growing up type of thing. And it's like, yeah, it's harder to keep in touch with your friends, but you know, you everything gets in the way, but you try your best. Same with Harold and Kumar. It's a growing up type of thing. It's like a, we'll do anything for family around Christmas, like that type of thing. Bad Santa is like a redemption story. Like, he just wanted to make that kid happy because he realized that kid deserved it. He was a good kid, and so he deserved to make him happy. And it's like, do you need any of those fucking gifts? Do you need any of that shit? That kind of message. Office Christmas Party is like a selfless, like a, you know, come together for Christmas type of thing. I don't know. There's probably better ways to describe all those movies, but you know, just thought I'd throw that little tidbit of information out there. Because I love those movies. The Night Before is in my top four. It's on my Mount Rushmore. It's Christmas Vacation, it's Jim Carrey's Grinch, it's Muppet Christmas Carol, and it's The Night Before. The Night Before I absolutely love. I do. And I even love the pregame scene. There's like a montage where All Alone on Christmas by Darlene Love is playing, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt is drinking in his apartment, playing the guitar, going through old pictures, like just being excited for Christmas. And there's something about that scene that I love, because I love me a good, like, when I know, like, you know, there's a party later on today or there's something big going on and I get a chance to pregame, it's a beautiful moment, in my opinion. And I love it. I do. Sorry. Having some technical issues right here. But it's okay. We'll continue on. Hopefully it's not a Krampus situation and the whole fucking grid shuts down. But we'll see. We will see. Outside, you may have heard Theo snoring right there. Thank you, Theo. Lovely to have you on the podcast, God damn it. Outside of that, you know, there's Fred Claus, there's the Santa Claus with Tim Allen, Santa Claus 2, I have not seen the third one. There's Home Alone, which I talked about briefly earlier. A Christmas Story, Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn. Like, Vince Vaughn's been in two Christmas movies too. Vince Vaughn? Christmas guy? Maybe. Vince Vaughn, Christmas movie guy? Possibly. All the I'm getting tired. All the Hallmark Christmas movies, you know, absolutely corny, but, and it's the same formula. It's girl moves to city, you know, gets engaged to lawyer or Wall Street guy, goes back to hometown for Christmas, finds carpenter / bar owner, bakery person, and falls in love, and it's like, I want this guy over my Wall Street guy, and it's like, and then it turns out, like, the guy's partner, like, the guy's shop owner, like, the guy who runs the bar with the guy, that he's Santa or something like that, and he's like, Merry Christmas, you two love each other, now go fuck, you know, something like that. So those are always great. All the claymation movies, and I love the specials too. I love the Always Sunny Christmas special. I love the South Park Christmas special. Just all the specials, all the old Disney specials. Like, there's so many, you know. Every show does Christmas, like The Office. Every show does Christmas specials, and it always works. They usually nail it. It's hard for a show to fuck up a Christmas special. So, I love watching all that. I try to get it all in. As the Christmas season approaches, you know, from November 1st to December 26th. That's the Christmas season to me. And technically, you know, my mom still listens to Christmas music even after Christmas. Like, she just has a hard time letting go, which I get it. But, yeah, so there's that. Yeah, that's my Christmas movie / TV special segment. When we get back, we're going to talk about songs. We're going to talk about presents. We're going to talk about memories. We're going to talk about traditions. We still got a lot to talk about. And this was a 30-minute segment. Fuck, this might be a long episode. Who gives a fuck? It's Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Welcome back, everybody, to episode 92 of Feel Good Friday FGF. Ho, ho, ho. I am your host, Santa Claus. And let me tell you, boys and girls, I've been checking the list. I've been checking it twice, as a matter of fact. And I came across a name recently. Not literally came across the name. I did not ejaculate on this name on the list. I was reading my list and I saw this name. Joseph Kruger. Apparently he is also a host of Feel Good Friday, but let me tell you, boys and girls, he's been a naughty boy. He's been very naughty. Santa is going to come down his chimney, not metaphorically, I will literally do that, but then I will also literally, not metaphorically, I will fist him because he's been a bad boy. So get ready, Joseph Kruger. 2024 Christmas, I'm coming for that ass. That was weird, huh? don't know why I did that. But anyway, welcome back to episode 92, Feel Good Friday, FGF. We are here. We are spreading Christmas cheer, even though it is the post-Christmas special. But still, you know, like I said, life gets crazy and I wasn't able to get to what I wanted to get to. And it's the reason we're probably not going to hit triple digits by the end of the year. My projected outlook for the rest of 2023 for Feel Good Friday is this episode, Christmas special. Finish that burp. And then I have another solo one that I want to do because I have a lot to talk about. I've seen some things, I've heard some things, I've done some things. Things have happened that I would like to talk about. And there's definitely enough content to fill up an entire episode. Then after that, I hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll do one more by the year's end. And that'll be a 2023 New Year's Eve extravaganza type of special. And that's the plan. So that will give us, if this is episode 92, the next episode is 93, because that's how numbers work. And then the next episode after that, ow, that was my knee, is, my knee just cracks. So don't worry about it. I don't. I probably should, but I don't. Then the next episode after that is 94. So we're going to end 2023 on episode 94, most likely, unless if I could squeeze another one in and then end on 95. But right now, the end game here is episode 94, which I wanted to hit 100 this year. I really did. And, just when life happens, it gets pretty crazy and you fall behind the eight ball. And then you end up doing an eight ball and then you're hooked on drugs again. And then everything goes downhill and your life falls apart. You're checked into rehab, but you don't really like it. So you sneak out every night. You do more eight balls. Oh, man. Well, the story, don't get behind the eight ball. You know what I mean? Anyway, let's move on. Enough talk about hard drugs. Let's talk about Christmas music, because I think Christmas music is another reason people love the Christmas season so much. I think it's another thing that makes the Christmas season so awesome, so jolly, so holly jolly, so festive, you know? Ooh, I'm going to meet you under the mistletoe while Blue Christmas plays or something like that, the Elvis version. Or while Santa Baby plays. That's a naughty song to meet under the mistletoe to. Oop. Oh, you know what? You know it's a good move? Well, it would have been a good move. I'm 30 now, so it would be kind of sad. But in college, if I just went out around Christmas and I had a mistletoe belt buckle, so that way there would be mistletoe right above my dick and balls. That would be funny. But I don't think I could pull that off now. Especially not in this climate. Anyway. As in, like, the social climate. I could pull it off in this climate. It's actually not bad outside. The sun's out. It's, like, 40 degrees. I could... Okay, moving on. Christmas music. I think let's get it off... Let's start off with the best Christmas song. I think the best Christmas song is The Christmas Song. I believe it's by Nat King Cole. And it's just... I think when you call something The Christmas Song, you set yourself up to this really high bar and you have to live up to it. And I think it does. There's not a lot of songs that make me feel warmer, that make me feel more comfortable than the Christmas song. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipples at your nose or something like that. Although it's been said many times, many ways, blessed Kwanzaa to you. I think that's how it goes. But that is the Christmas song, so I think that by itself, by title alone, gets you in consideration for the GOAT. And I think it lives up to the standard that it sets itself up to. Now, that's not my favorite Christmas song. I think that's the best Christmas song, but my favorite Christmas song would be Spirit of Christmas by Ray Charles, which if you haven't heard it, do yourself a favor, listen to it. It's great. It makes me feel all warm and cozy. It's the type of thing you want to just go in the basement, turn on the Christmas tree lights, light a fire, make yourself a drink, maybe some eggnog liqueur, maybe just a beer, whatever you want, and then just kick your feet up, lay on the couch. Think about all the good in life. You know what I mean? Don't let the worries just slide away for a little bit. Fade away, if you will. And it's like Kurt Cobain said, it's better to burn out than to fade away. But let those worries just fade away. And you put on this song and you just feel good. You just feel good. At least you should. If you don't, I don't know. Maybe you're an emotional cripple. I don't know. But that's a possibility. Now, in case if you're like, Joe, I haven't heard this song, you might have. If you've seen Christmas Vacation, you definitely have. That song, Spirit of Christmas by Ray Charles, my favorite Christmas song, is in my favorite Christmas movie of all time, Christmas Vacation. Coincidence? I think not. But it's in the scene when he's Clark Griswold gets trapped in the attic and his family goes shopping. So he's up there and he's looking for shit to do. And he comes across the old tapes, the old reels, and he puts them on and he's just watching them and he's getting emotional. It's just Christmas memories and he's you know, tearing up, and that song is playing. And it's a surprisingly and unexpected touching scene in that movie. And I personally love it. And I love that song. I think that song makes that scene. It's so good. And obviously the soundtrack in Christmas Vacation is great. And growing up watching Christmas Vacation at least twice a season, you're going to probably have a, you know, soft spot for those songs. And that song in particular just really makes me feel good. Fun fact though about Christmas Vacation. So in that scene, the reels that he finds are from Christmas 1959. So it's the same amount of distance, Clark Griswold watching Christmas 59 reels in that, in the year that Christmas Vacation came out. Same amount of distance from those two to someone today watching Christmas Vacation, 2023 to, I believe it's, I apologize, 1989. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's 1989. You know what? I'm going to double check it. Because if I don't, that's going to, yeah, it's 1989. You know, I spent this extra time checking it. And I'm kind of glad I did, because if I got that wrong, people would be like, oh, that's your favorite Christmas movie? But whatever. Speaking of stuff I got wrong, actually, last episode, I wanted to apologize. Tyler Glasnow, actually, this was a couple episodes ago. Tyler Glasnow was not on the San Diego Padres. He was on the Tampa Bay Rays. I got that wrong. I fucked up. I acknowledge it. We're moving on. Christmas. Christmas songs. Yeah, that was that little Christmas Vacation fun fact. But anyway, God, and then you got all the classics, you know, the Dean Martins and the Frank Sinatras and the Perry Como and Bing Crosby, obviously Elvis. Jimmy Buffett did a lot of Christmas music as well. Not to circle back to Jimmy Buffett, but guy was a Christmas guy. He was a Christmas guy. He had several Christmas albums, and he was a big, big Christmas fan. And he showed that through his countless covers and some originals as well. So I love all the classics because I think I grew up with Christmas music. My mom was super stoked whenever the Christmas music would come on, which, by the way, people love Christmas music in general. It's not just my mom. They're clamoring for Christmas music to start earlier and earlier on 93.9, The Light FM. And the only time I listen to that radio station is during the Christmas season because they play nonstop Christmas music, and it's great. It makes me just, it really helps with the Christmas spirit. In a time when Christmas spirit, I think, is in short supply, there were so many people this year, so many people that were saying it just doesn't feel like Christmas, you know? I think we're all lacking the Christmas spirit. And there was one lady in particular, she was saying like she had to work on Christmas Eve and it just didn't feel like Christmas, and kind of like this depressing story. And I gave her a bouquet of flowers because I was like, here's a little sweet, you know, I'm trying to spread the joy, you know, trying to be a little positive, not HIV positive. Hopefully not. Fingers crossed, knock on wood. Moving on. So I think Christmas music does help. And obviously you have the people that hate on Christmas music, like, ah, 2 months of this shit. This, God forbid, people are fucking happy for a change. Shut the fuck up. Just let people be. You know what I mean? If they're not hurting you, let them be. And then don't even try to hit me with the, they are hurting me. That music is annoying. It gives me a headache. Fuck off, dude. Put in your fucking headphones then. God, those people make me so upset. Those people that are too cool for Christmas music. You know, it's upsetting. It's upsetting. That's all. I think Christmas music is a joy. And I think it's something that should be cherished because it doesn't hit the same any other time besides November and December. If you're playing Christmas music in October, you're wrong for that. You should be playing Halloween music. I want Monster Mash. I want Thriller. I want Ghostbusters, Werewolves of London, all that stuff. But anyway, back to Chris. I just think it's an important part of the Christmas season. I think it helps increase Christmas spirit, spread Christmas cheer. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is drinking lots of ice cold beer. I'm just kidding. I'm an alcoholic. I have a problem. No, but it's the elf line. The best way to spread best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. Corny as fuck, obviously, but it's kind of true. Like, you know, people get together and when they start singing together, when people sing in groups, it's just a joyful experience. So then you're singing happy songs in a group. It's great. It's great. I would love it if Christmas carolers came to my door. I have yet to fucking experience that in my life. Not even in college was there like a group of like drunk dudes who like jokingly came up to the door, or a group of like topless sorority girls that came up and they were like, can we deck your balls or something like that? Like, that never happened. I think I dreamt about it a couple times. I wake up and my pants are all sticky, but other than that, it's never happened. So that's a bummer. But yeah, Christmas music, I think, is vital to the season. I think you take out Christmas music, if 93.9 stopped playing it, things would be drastically different and it wouldn't feel as good. It just wouldn't feel as good. I think it's important. You put it on during dinner. You put it on during opening gifts. You put it on during wrapping gifts. You put it on during pregame, like, you know, pregames for Christmas parties or baking for Christmas dinners or just anything. It should make the experience better for you. And if it doesn't, I'm sorry. I really am. I'm sorry that Christmas music has no effect on you. But to me, it does. And it makes me happy. So, yeah. Before we take another break, though, I wanted to talk about this weird commercial that I saw. And it was on Hulu. I've been watching The Bear again because I didn't get to season two. So I'm rewatching season one. It's pretty quick episodes, and it's just fantastic television, and can't wait for season two. I already can't wait for season three, and I haven't even gotten through season two. But anyway, this weird commercial came out where it's Santa, and he's at his desk at the North Pole, and Mrs. Claus is topping him off, if you know what I mean. I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. Maybe it did. I don't know. I wasn't behind the scenes. BTS. But more like STD from Mrs. Claus, you dirty whore. Anyway, why do I, my mind, I let my intrusive thoughts win when I'm doing this podcast. I apologize. But he's at his desk and he's going through letters and he gets to one and it says Islam on it. No, it doesn't. It says Israel. I think it says Israel. And I said Islam. God, I'm a fucking racist asshole. I apologize. In my mind, it said Islam, but it says Israel. And I apologize. He opens the letter and he looks all confused at first. And then he opens and he starts reading. He's like, Dear Santa Claus, they took away my mommy and they killed my daddy or something like that. And it's this little Israeli voice. And it's supposed to be this sad thing. And Santa's like reading it and like crying, and like the letter has like little kid drawings of bad people killing his family. And I'm like, how the fuck did this get on the air? Like, I get what you're trying to do. It's supposed to be a good message, but wow, this is it was just bad. It was just a bad commercial. It was depressing. It was poorly acted. Like the Santa, just, it looked comical when he was crying. It didn't look real. It looked like, you know, they're shooting a comedy movie and they're like, all right, you have to cry, but it's supposed to be funny. And then he did that. That's exactly what it looked like to me. It's just, I don't know. It was kind of just a bad experience all around, and it weirded me out and I didn't like it. And, that's the end of my rant about the Israel Christmas commercial. I probably shouldn't have brought it up to begin with, but it's just something that I saw that really I was like, well, what the fuck is going on? Why is this on my TV? Why, like, what are they advertising? Like, what do they think? I don't know. Is it to spread awareness? Because I get it. I guess that's important, but it's like, what's the projected outcome here? You think people are just going to be like, oh my God, they made Santa cry. They made Santa cry, so let's donate. Like, I think if people wanted to donate, they would have fucking donated by now. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. And maybe they did it to, like, get kids in. Like, you put this commercial on when the kids are in the room, and the kids kind of understand it. And then now the kids have to learn about this horrible situation going on in the Middle East. And now they're depressed, too. Got to start them off early, right? Got to get them depressed before they hit double digits. I don't know. It's just a bummer. It's a bummer all around. No good came from that commercial. No good. I don't think it helped their cause at all. And it bummed me out. And now kids might learn about something they shouldn't even know about. They should let kids be kids. You know, let them explore and find things out on their own. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being an asshole. Probably. I've been told that. So, all right. We're going to take a break. And sorry. Squeaky shoes. Sound like I'm on the basketball court, am I right? Joe Kruger for three. Oh, he missed again. Why is he on the court? Why? Security, get him off the court. He should not be on the court. He's drunk. There you go. That's a realistic scenario of what would happen. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back, and we'll see what we're going to talk about next. Maybe some Christmas traditions, huh? Traditions, not dishes. Like, not food. Well, maybe we'll talk about food. Who knows? Christmas special. It's that time. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Ho, 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 everybody. Sorry. And we're back. Episode 92, the Christmas special. Welcome back, one and all. Gather round, gather round. We have some Christmas shit to talk about. So let's see. We've covered movies. We've covered Jimmy Buffett a lot. We've covered music. We've covered, like, TV specials. Let's get into just Christmas stuff. You know what I mean? Like, just Christmas stuff. Let's go through it, because there's a lot of it. There's a lot of it. So let's start with presents. Growing up, Christmas was my favorite. I liked it even more than my birthday, because my birthday was fun and I got presents. Don't get me wrong. I love that. Obviously that's great. And hey, we're celebrating me. Like, Christmas is about, like, Jesus and obviously Jimmy Buffett and everyone. But, like, my birthday is me. Like, that's all it is. So that's fun. But there's something magical about Christmas. It's the lights, it's the music, it's the movies, it's the mood, it's the weather. There's that crispness in the air, you know what I mean? And then the snowfall. And it, well, there used to be snowfall, now global warming. But hey, what am I going to do about it? I am just going to ride the wave, baby, ride the wave. But so there's something magical about that. And then knowing that, like, you know, Santa's coming, and, like, we used to leave milk and cookies out for him, and we actually used to, my dad even went as far as buying magical reindeer food that you would just sprinkle on the lawn. And so they went all out. My parents went all out. I applaud them very much today. They obviously ate the milk and cookies. They put the presents very nicely under the tree, you know, very organized. And they took pictures every year because it did look good. And I would take pictures too if that was all my hard work. You know, I'd be like, God damn it, that's me. I did that. And I think they should be proud of it, because it made me very happy. And I'm sure it made my sister very happy as well. We had very, very great childhoods because my parents made them that way. And Christmas was such a special time. And I hope I can make it that special for Finn. I want to do traditions. I want to do, you know, I was about to say carving pumpkins. My mind's on Halloween. I want to do, you know, the decorating of the tree and putting up lights and going around and seeing lights and going to, you know, places like Sunny Acres or whatever, and going to the zoo lights, and maybe we could even go Christmas caroling, and then we could make hot cocoa, and we could wrap our presents together, and just all of this Christmas shit that I would love to make a tradition with Finn, because I want to give him a magical childhood, as magical as mine was. You know, not all kids are as lucky as I am, and I want Finn to be as lucky, if not luckier, than me. I want him to have an amazing childhood. I want to do everything I can to make Christmas and Halloween and his birthday and all that as great a time for him as they were for me growing up. Like, my birthday, not his. You know, his birthday's, he said, well, actually, we didn't do anything this year. But, you know, he's also, he doesn't really know what's going on yet. So what are you going to do? But
Yeah, I just love all the Christmas parties. I just love the ugly sweater thing. I don't quite like. I get it at this point. It's a traditional Christmas thing. It's ugly sweater. It's very funny. You know, people put the mirror on the sweater, and it's like, ha ha. I'm saying you're ugly because you see my reflection on your sweater. It's got fucking roasted. Boom. But whatever. I'm okay with it. You know, like I said, I enjoy festivities. I like Christmas parties. I love when we're at a party, you know, whether it be a bar or a house party or whatever, and Christmas music's playing and people are dressed kind of holiday-ish. So I just there's something to me that's it's a very comforting feeling. And don't get me wrong, I love parties all year long. I love 4th of July. I love Memorial Day, Labor Day, Halloween, St. Patrick's, you name it. But I don't know, a Christmas party is just they're just warm, and there's so many people that hate the holidays, and I'm just really thankful I'm not one of those people, because I think it's a special time of year, and you know, I spend a pretty crazy amount of money given my budget on gifts to show loved ones that I love them. Kind of crazy, but hey, that's America, and they do the same for me. And that's a big part of the reason I do it is because I know that they're, you know, they spare no, I mean, they spare some expense. They're not fucking buying me Jaguars and houses in Miami or Orlando. But like they, you know, I have a very generous support system. I have a very generous group of loved ones in my life, ones that I care about that spend a lot of money on me that I honestly don't think I deserve that money spent on me. But I mean, my birthday, I got like $150 worth of Chili's and gift cards. That's fucking nuts. But I loved it and I appreciated it and I cherished it. Did I think I deserve it? No, but I loved it. So Christmas is special for me. And I know it's not special for everyone. And I honestly feel awful that it can't be special for everyone. There are people that spend it alone. There are people that, and it's not necessarily a bad thing either, by the way, if you spend it alone. Just wanted to throw that out there. Sometimes it's quantity over quality. You spend Christmas with, you know, your dad. It's just you and your dad getting dinner, having dinner, exchanging gifts, throwing on a movie, chilling out. If that's the time that you get with your family, like fucking appreciate it and cherish it. Sometimes that's what it is. Quantity over quality, or quality over quantity. God damn it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I really am. I do feel bad if you don't like the holidays, because I think it's just, I do think it's the most wonderful time of the year. Although there was a comedian that said people are meaner, and I kind of think he's onto something there. It's not totally wrong. Everyone's in a rush. Like, so, I mean, it's typical holiday stuff, so I guess it's not changing. That's almost tradition in itself, is people being, you know, it being super hectic around the holidays and people rushing and, you know, have to get this done, have to get that done, and oh fuck, you know, you're out of this, fuck you guys for being out of this rest, you know, all this stuff. It's just pure anarchy a lot of the time. But I think if you can take a moment to sit back and appreciate the beauty of the holiday season and how it, you know, it's a time for families and friends to get together and tell each other like how much they mean to them. I got a couple, some people at work, I got them cards. Nothing in it, no gift card, no money. But I just wanted to get them that card and tell them like, hey, thank you for everything you've done for me over the year, over my time here. You've made it a lot better. And I appreciate you and you're great at what you do. And I hope you have a great Christmas because you deserve it. And I say that to people that I think truly deserve it. When I say, you know, I hope you have a great birthday. I hope you have a great Christmas. I hope you have a great Arbor Day, you know, whatever the occasion. I hope you have a great Martin Luther King Day. I don't say that one often, but I have said it before and probably shouldn't have. But when I say it, I mean it. Like, I don't say that to everyone. I say that to the people that I think deserve these great days. And Christmas is a time to, you know, You tell everyone that this isn't Mother's Day where it's, you know, only the mothers in your life. This isn't Father's Day. This isn't birthdays. This is Christmas. You could tell everyone, everyone who means anything to you. You tell them what you feel. And I don't know. I think there's something beautiful about that. And do I sound corny right now? Do I sound a little bit on the cheesy side, a little extra cheesy, a little five cheese layer burrito? Yeah, I do. But God damn it, I also don't care. It's the holidays, baby. I'm going to put my dick in a peppermint mochiato from Starbucks, you know, in those red cups. And I'm going to stir it with my dick. See, I knew I was getting a little too corny. I had to throw in a dick joke to kind of offset, you know, the corniness. And it wasn't a good dick joke, but hell of a visual. Just imagine me, you know, at the Starbucks, just kind of hunched over the counter. Just a rock hard wiener and a peppermint mochiato, which I don't even know if that's a thing. Macchiato? Is that how you say it? I don't go to Starbucks. So I wouldn't know. Yeah. Also growing up, my family, like, you know, little things. It's like the countdown to Christmas decorations. We had several. We had like a calendar that my parents still have. And I actually, when I went over there on Christmas Eve, I had to move it to December 24th. No big deal. I guess I'm the only one that fucking cares. Here comes Krampus. but then I had to move that to the 24th. And then also there was a countdown thing. That's like, it's two blocks with numbers on it. And then it goes, you know, you move it day by day. And then it says days till Christmas. And growing up, I loved those things. And I looked forward to waking up every morning and moving the star to the next day and then moving the blocks to, you know, we're one day closer to Christmas. For whatever reason, in Jim Carrey's The Grinch, that one line when he goes like, only 4 hours till Christmas. I don't know why I love that line so much, but I love it. And I think it's, I don't know, it's the excitement of when I was a kid. So I kind of did some studies, some research. I did some correlation here, correlation facts, whatever you want to call it. So growing up, Christmas was huge for me. Christmas Eve, we spent at my mom's side, whether it was my aunt and uncle's house, our house, or my grandparents' house. And then Christmas Day, we went to my dad's side at my grandparents' house. Got to see everyone. It's a big thing. We always went to church. And I noticed when I moved to Texas, that the year before that, it was kind of the last year that I truly had the Christmas spirit. Now, like I've been saying, I listen to Christmas music. I watch Christmas movies. Jingle All the Way. I forgot to talk about that, but we'll get back to it. We'll circle back. And Home Alone 3. But I try to do all these things to get in the Christmas spirit. I give gifts. I wrap them. But I think the Christmas spirit for me came from my family. My mom loves Christmas so much, and, you know, my dad puts up all the decorations and the lights every year, and we have two trees, and we have these lit-up deer heads in the wall, or I'm sorry, on the wall in the garage, and there's just so much Christmas going on at our house that I think once I left that, it's not the same. I get it, that's how life works. You know, you move on, you grow up, and things change. And you roll with it as best you can. And I'm rolling. Trust me, I'm not on E right now. That's not what I mean. I just, for the sake of what I just said, you roll with the changes. I'm not on ecstasy. Or am I? Is that what people on ecstasy sound like? Probably. I think I've been around a few. But it's a sad fact, but I noticed that this year. Like, I just kind of went back and I was like, well, shit. It's not the same as it was growing up. And everything seemed different. And I don't think I'm alone. I've seen lots of Facebook posts where people are like, Christmas seem different growing up? Whether it was the 90s or early 2000s, and things have changed. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm looking, you know, the other side of the fence where the grass is supposedly greener. But maybe I should start taking care of the lawn right in front of me. Because I think that Christmas spirit can still be there. I still put up lights in the Tinley house and the tree in the basement and Christmas decorations and put up the Christmas cards and watch the, like, we do all that. It just doesn't feel the same. And maybe it's because I'm not a kid anymore. That could also be it. That's a valid possibility, but I want that back. Or, at the very least, I want to be able to give that to Finn. I want Finn to, like I said earlier, just really appreciate the holidays. And I'm going to tell him once he's old enough to understand, like, hey, one day, Christmas magic, it's not going to quite be there. So appreciate what you have right now. And maybe I won't say it like that. Like, I'm not going to be like, hey, by the way, Santa's not real and Christmas sucks. No, I'm not going to say that. I'll find a way to word it. I think I have time, but still, it's I hope he appreciates the Christmas time and the traditions and all of that, because I look back and those are some of the best days of my life. It was lead you know, Christmases growing up and even the lead up to Christmas and the day before we got out for winter break in school. Back then we called it Christmas break. Now it's called winter break, but still. Like, the day that we got out, we'd watch a Christmas movie. We'd do some Christmas arts and craft project. All the girls would give me Christmas cards, and they're like, hey, I hope you have a great Christmas. I wish you had, you know, I wish I was under your tree for Christmas, because that, you know, because I think you're really hot. And I'd be like, well, thank you, but I'm actually trying to get a PS2, so I'm flattered. Whatever. That didn't happen, but the first parts are true. And just like the lunch, you know, just stuff like that. Little things. It's cliche. It's corny. It's tacky almost, but just got to appreciate the little things in every aspect, especially Christmas. Christmas growing up, appreciate the little things. One day you're not going to have them. That fucking sucks. But you look at what you do have, you make the best of it. You know? It's on you sometimes. Okay. Well, oh yeah, Jingle All the Way, by the way. Jingle All the Way. I think Phil Hartman in Jingle All the Way, probably one of the most underrated Christmas characters of all time. Phil Hartman in Jingle All the Way is fantastic, and I love him so much, and it makes me miss him even more, and it makes me wish that, you know, things obviously did not end the way they did with him. It's a tragedy. I'm not getting choked up. I'm just fumbling over my words like a moron, like a professional podcaster should not do, but tragic ending to an amazing career from Phil Hartman, and I wish he did a lot more, was able to do a lot more, but things went the way they went. Awful people did awful things. And his life and his career got cut short. But if we can appreciate the time he had here, it was amazing. His SNL career, his appearances on Late Night, obviously, like I said, Jingle All the Way, he's one of the greatest characters. He's just such a, just this pretentious dick of a neighbor. And he's so funny. He does it so well. And it's one of my favorite Christmas performances of all time. So there you go. Phil Hartman, Jingle All the Way. I love you. Now, Jingle All the Way is not in my, like, top five movies. Probably might not even crack top 10, but Phil Hartman in Jingle All the Way, top 3 performance for me. Obviously, Jim Carrey and The Grinch is up there. Michael Caine as Ebenezer Scrooge is up there. You know, surprisingly, there's not, like, obviously, I love Chevy Chase's Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation, but performance-wise, that's not quite in my top tier. So I think my top three are Jim Carrey as the Grinch, Michael Caine as Ebenezer Scrooge, and Phil Hartman as the neighbor in Jingle All the Way. Obviously, you know, there's, what's it called? Will Ferrell as Elf. But I don't know if that would even be in my top ones. It's a good one, but I don't know if it would be in my top. I'll tell you who I like in Elf the most is, I think his name is Dirk Lawson. When Michael at the end is going through the Christmas lists, and he's like, Dirk Lawson wants an all expenses paid massage or something like that. and they're at some biker bar and they all start looking at the guy and he just goes, "Must be another Dirk Lawson." That's one of my favorite lines of all time. So, way to go, Elf. Tom Hanks, you are not in my top Christmas performances as the conductor on the train in the Polar Express. Again, I don't like the way you talk in that movie. There's something about it. Like, it's like the way he talked in Elvis. Like, what are you doing, man? You're Tom Hanks. You don't have to try this hard. Tickets, please, tickets. I hate it. I don't know. It just bugs me. So, but yeah, those are some of my favorite Christmas performances. Phil Hartman. God, I could watch that. You know what? I know it's past Christmas, but we might throw that one on because my boy Philly Hearts absolutely killed it. And that deserves another viewing. Another stream, if you will. All right. That was a little bit of a deep section right there, and I apologize if I got too deep, which is something I don't say often. Sex joke. Like, deep. Like my penis inside. That was my knee again, cracking. But back to, like, my penis being, deep inside a vagina. I am gonna end this segment. Made it weird. Again, that's what I do. That's what I'm really fucking good at. Okay, you're fine. All right, wrap this segment up. Wrap this up. Christmas present, wrap up. Little pun right there, little jokey joke, and you can take that however you will. But we're going to wrap this section up Christmas present style. And then when we get... No, I said it too early. We're going to end this segment, and then when we come back, we're going to wrap this episode up Christmas present style. Big Christmas present under the tree. The one that you missed at first because it was kind of hidden, and then your dad goes, "Oh, what's that?" It's the one gift you wanted the most. So, for me growing up, that was... Pam Anderson in a bikini, and surprisingly my parents could not pull that off, but I'm sure they wanted to. You know what, they probably didn't want to, because the things I would have done, they would have disowned me. All right, we'll be back to wrap it up Christmas present style. Pass me those scissors. Can I use your finger for a second? Grinch quote. Okay, I'm done.
Oh, sorry. Santa just took a rip of the bong. Santa's on the ganj. I'm on that North Pole of Kush, if you know what I mean. Just kidding, kids. Don't do drugs. Anyway, we are back, episode 92, and we are going to wrap this thing up Christmas present style. I know you love it. I love it. We all love it. Everyone loves it. It's a beautiful thing. So, here we are. Here we are, as an olden day, happy golden days of yours. Faithful friends, they are near to us, gathered dear to us. Or I think I fucked that lyric up once more. Through the years, we all will be together. If the fates allow, hang a shot. Am I going too far? Can I get sued if I keep singing that? I probably have to cut myself off, right? Yeah, we're going to cut myself off for my sake and also for yours. I'm sure your ears are kind of like, what the fuck is happening right now? Is there a peacock getting shot? Because... that might have been what it sounded like. And I apologize. That's such a good song to like end on. You know what I mean? The South Park Christmas special did it the best. Mr. Hankey's Christmas classic. They ended on that song and couldn't have picked a better song. I think that's a perfect song to end to. And yeah, so that's what I tried doing. And granted, that was not my best performance. I apologize. But it was kind of spur of the moment. You know, it was a spur of the moment thing. I just kind of threw it together and... you know, you get what you get. What you got was probably a migraine, so I apologize. Hey, Merry Christmas. Here's a fucking migraine, because I'm going to sing like a moron. Yeah, anyway. Here we are. End of the show. End of the Christmas special. Another Christmas special in the books. Just me today, though. And you know what? That's okay. We're intimate setting. This is just me talking to you. And I want to say thank you for listening. I asked Santa if my podcast could blow up for Christmas.
It's been a couple days since Christmas has passed, and I still have not received the email from Barstool saying, hey, we want you on. So I'm still holding out hope. I know Christmas is a busy time, and Santa's a very busy man. And, you know, he's got a lot of shit to do, and then he's got to get home. And he's got to plow Mrs. Claus a little bit and keep her satisfied, because if she doesn't get the dick, then it's like she's a cranky bitch, and we don't want that. And he's got a lot of responsibility. I get it, dude. I get it. But, you know, just one, you know, not to sound like Ray J, but I had one wish. And it was not to make a sex tape with Kim Kardashian. It was that my podcast would blow up. And then I think the sex tape with Kim Kardashian would just naturally come along. But however, I'm okay with it not blowing up, because I'm still having fun. And I've had people pressure me to, like, you know, set up that mic and, I do this whole professional setup, and you should download this stuff and do that. And guys, I don't actually think this podcast is going to blow up, but I want you to know that. And it's, I'm not, like, you know, yelling or anything like that. Sound like a parent, but I'm doing this podcast for fun. I'm doing this because I have a lot of shit to say and I want to get it out there. If it blows up, fucking great. Sure. I'm not going to be like, no, I'm going to keep recording on my Android and call it a day. But right now, I don't have any prospects on the horizon. It's just me talking to myself a lot of the time. Occasional guest on here and there. But I like it. It's almost a form of fucking therapy for me. So I don't need this to blow up. I was just joking about asking Santa for that. I really would like to make a sex tape with Kim Kardashian. But I don't need this to blow up. I'm having fun, and I'm okay with that. And I still have listeners. Again, numbers, not astounding by any means, but solid enough that I'm like, look at that. People are listening. People tune in. And yeah, grand scheme of things, if you think of all the people in the world and then you look at my numbers, I don't reach a lot of people. But people I do reach, I'm appreciative of and thankful for. And you guys are the reason that I keep making episodes. That and what I just said, that this is, it's a semi-form of therapy for me. I love doing it, and I love getting my thoughts off. And sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're stupid, sometimes, you know, I say some shit that's actually meaningful, and that's pretty cool, but I just really like doing this, and I like doing it the way I've been doing it. And so I appreciate everyone trying to help, everyone who has tried to help before, but I'm good with where I'm at. Don't spend your money on me, you know, don't spend your time trying to better me, quote unquote. Because I'm good. I'm content. I could promise you that. Work on yourself. You can never, you know, be too perfect or whatever the fucking phrase is. I don't know. I'm just saying, don't worry about me. I like what I'm doing. I like where I'm at. I'm happy. And I mean that. And I've gone through some shit this year. I've been in some bad places. Not necessarily physically, although I did go to Soldier Field for a Bears game, and I was like, what am I doing here? This is the worst team ever. Actually, they're not bad. They're 6-9, dude. But mentally, yeah, because I've been going through it. I've been going through some shit, and I think that bad spot came about because I realized that the shit that I'm going through, I have no one to blame but myself. There's no finger pointing here. And I tried at first. I tried to be like, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's whoever. And eventually I look in the mirror and I'm like, it's you, dude. Like, you shoot yourself in the foot. You keep getting in your own way. You're your own worst enemy. Not to quote Lit or anything, but you're, you know, that is what it is. Yeah, so realizing that you're the problem is, it's a big, not good thing. And, but once you realize it, you know, you can accept it. And now the next step is working on it. And I've told people before that I've been working on it, and I really haven't. It didn't really hit me until, honestly, not that long ago. But it hit me, and I don't know. I think I can better myself, put myself in a good spot, and that's what I'm going to do. And this podcast is a way of doing that. I'm telling you. Just letting everything out, whether it's a stupid thought or whether it's something meaningful or deep, whether it's something you care about or whether I care about, whatever. Talking to someone, having a guest on, like, it's a form of therapy, and I need it, and it's helping me. And just want to let you guys know that I'm all right. I'm good. So, anyway. Wow, what a depressing way to end the podcast. Yeah, but again, just wanted to get that out there too. Let y'all know what I'm going through, why the episodes aren't coming out guns a-blazing all the time. It's because sometimes I take a little break and it's hard to find that motivation to just record another episode again, knowing that it's only going to hit like 20 people, but still. Then you take a step back and you're like, what am I complaining for? That's 20 people. It's 20 more people than a lot of other, like, people would kill to have 20 people listen to them. And I get that on a regular basis. That's a low episode for me. So, and you might hear Shorzy snoring in the background. So Shorzy has made an appearance on the podcast as well. We get the whole fucking squad in, the canine crew for the Christmas special. Anyway. Yeah, sorry to end on a somber note. I didn't mean to bring it down like that. I just wanted to let y'all know that I'm fine with where I'm at with this podcast. I enjoy doing this podcast. And if you guys get anything out of it, that's a bonus. Honestly, that's a DeMontis Sabonis. So that's a win-win as far as I see it. I don't want you worrying about me and anything even close to that, because I'm going to be fine. So, focus on yourself, 2024. Mental health, everything, all that. It's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good year. Just like the tires. Bridgestone. Okay. All right. Well, that is the end of my Christmas special. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for listening throughout the year. And thank you all in advance for listening to my episodes in 2024. And we'll see if I get that sex tape with Kim Kardashian. We'll also see if I blow up. Either one could happen. Maybe they both happen. I don't know. Knock on wood. Knock on my wood, am I right? Boner joke. Because wood is only when you're hard, right? You can't look at a flaccid dick and be like, that's wood. No, it's like hard because you're like lumber. You're like a little 2x4 in your pants. All right, semantics. Okay, thank you all for listening. I hope you all had a great holiday, whether it is Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, or you didn't celebrate at all. You're a little Jehovah's Witness. I hope you had a great December 25th. I had a great Jimmy Buffett's birthday, a great Boxing Day. Whatever you celebrate, if you don't celebrate anything at all, hope you had a great day. I just hope you're doing okay, because I am, and it feels pretty cool. So I wish that upon you. That is my Christmas wish. And a sex tape with Kim Kardashian. All right, that'll do it. Merry Christmas, everybody. Oh, Santa, you're back for the outro. Yes, I am. Ho, ho, ho. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And Joe, keep up the good work on the podcast. It's not too bad. You talk about your dick a lot, and that's kind of weird. But once you get past that, kind of wholesome. And that's what I try to do, Santa. But gotta include the dick jokes. Do you? Well, I do. It's like a personal thing. It's a personal thing. That's kind of weird. That's a little weird, Joe. I'm gonna be honest with you. Yeah. I guess it is. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll see what I can do about the Kim Kardashian thing. And in the meantime, just you appreciate the good times. Appreciate your loved ones. All right? And appreciate the good times with the loved ones. Because you never know when that's going to end. Appreciate it all. You have a good life. You have a great support system. Work on yourself. Better yourself for a better tomorrow. What the fuck are you talking about, Santa? Better yourself for a better tomorrow. I don't know. It sounded all right. Get in my head. All right. We're going to end the episode. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas to all. And to all a good night. Ho, ho, ho. God, that Santa guy. I mean, he's all right. He's a little weird. He's fucking hot, though.